This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 201 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. I didn't tell you guys to play Derrick Henry last week, but I also didn't mention him as someone to sit, so that's at least a win. But no, I didn't see Derrick Henry's monster Thursday night performance coming. Not at all. I did pinpoint Jared Goff as a sit last week, though, and he was terrible. And the other quarterback that I talked about who had a tough matchup was Russell Wilson, who had 72 passing yards and zero touchdowns. Those were two of the stronger recommendations last week. I also had Ian Thomas as a start. I didn't like Tyler Lockett. Dante Pettis found the end zone again, and Andrew Luck bounced back in a big way against Houston. Those were all good. I'd say the biggest miss that I had last week was Spencer Ware. He was more involved than I thought that he'd be, and he also looked a lot better than he'd previously looked. And it was against a tough Ravens defense. But Dalvin Cook wasn't nearly as good as I thought he'd be, but neither was the Minnesota offense, and Larry Fitzgerald didn't take advantage of the matchup as a flex play. But really, last week overall was pretty strong. So let's hope that things continue in week 15. Before looking at this week's matchups, though, I wanted to remind you guys to head over to FanDuel.com and play the Thursday night special. You can make a lineup based on tonight's game, which should be a pretty good game, for a chance to win 200 grand. Just go to FanDuel.com and check it out. Kirk Cousins was dreadful in week 14, but things should look better for him this week at home against Miami. Cousins does have at least one touchdown pass in every game played this year, and he's failed to reach 200 yards just once. That's about a 12-point floor without any turnovers to be accounted for. So from that standpoint, we know he's a fairly safe option. But he's also at home this week where his yards per attempt rate is better this season, and he's facing a Miami pass defense that now ranks fifth worst in football according to NumberFire's expected points model. And that's adjusted for strength of opponent. So you should feel fine with Cousins in your quarterback spot this week. I wouldn't be ecstatic, but I think he's a totally reasonable play. Mitch Trubisky is a riskier option, but I think rankers are undervaluing him a bit this week. And it probably has to do with Monday night's game. And I can understand that, but Green Bay is a much different opponent than LA is. And Trubisky now has a game coming off that injury. On the road this year, the Packers have allowed no fewer than 15 fantasy points to a quarterback. And that was to Matthew Stafford, who's been awful this season. They even allowed Alex Smith to drop 17 on them. And let's not forget that Trubisky has shown that he's pretty strong in plus matchups, especially with his added 35 rushing yards per game. Week 4 against Tampa Bay, he was the QB1. Week 6 against Miami, the QB5. Week 7 against New England, QB2. Week 8 against the Jets, QB9. Week 10 against Detroit, QB1. If this game were in Green Bay, I'd be a lot more hesitant. But in Chicago, and given the Bears have one of the higher implied team totals this week, I think Trubisky is a decent play with upside. Everything has gotten better for Baker Mayfield and the Browns offense with Freddie Kitchens as offensive coordinator. Since Todd Haley was fired, Mayfield is averaging over 18 fantasy points per game, which is about 3.5 better than what we saw before the Kitchens era. Mayfield with Todd Haley had a 6.6 yards per attempt average. With Kitchens, it's 9.2. And Mayfield's throwing it deep at a higher rate as well. Before Kitchens, Mayfield was throwing it 15 or more air yards on about 22% of his passes. That's risen to 27%, which is one of the highest rates in the league. All of that's to say that Baker Mayfield has a chance to have a big day no matter the matchup in any given week now. And while Denver may be scary to some on paper, they're banged up in the secondary. And they've actually given up the 7th most passing yards in football this year to go along with a below average net yards per attempt rate. I wouldn't say Mayfield is a must start, but a few weeks ago, we would have never thought to play him in this spot. But I think that he should be good. Aaron Rodgers gets the Bears defense in Chicago this week, and I think it's logical to be a little bit worried about the matchup. The Bears looked awesome against Jared Goff on Monday, and they've now given up just 2 top 10 performances since week 1. And one of those was to Tom Brady, who we know can turn it on at any point. Chicago has NumberFire's second best schedule adjusted secondary, and Green Bay has an implied team total this week that's less than 20. Rodgers has thrown for more than 2 touchdowns just twice this season, and he's done it only once since his week 1 comeback against the Bears, and that one time was against Detroit. He won't turn the ball over, and he'll give you a decent enough floor, but he's by no means a lock this week. Jameis Winston has been fairly reliable since taking his job back in Tampa Bay, but like Rodgers, he's in a really, really rough spot in week 15. Baltimore hasn't allowed an opposing team to score more than 24 points at home this season, and they face Pittsburgh and New Orleans. They're also owners of the top-ranked secondary according to NumberFire, and they've given up the sixth fewest fantasy points to the position this year, despite facing Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger twice, Patrick Mahomes, and Matt Ryan. I would honestly play someone like Baker Mayfield over Jameis Winston this week. He's just a really risky start. I almost always have one player who's ranked pretty high that I mentioned on this show at running back, and this week it's Dalvin Cook. He's going to be in your lineup, I don't need to tell you that, but you have to love him this week. Prior to last week and since Cook returned from his injury, he had seen 55.9% of Minnesota's running back attempts. Against Seattle, that jumped to 81.3%. Now Minnesota has a new offensive coordinator that might end up featuring him more, and the Vikings are facing Miami in Minnesota, where they'll not only go up against a beatable rush defense, but they'll likely face a positive game script as well. So Dalvin Cook should have a very strong week. Let's dig a little bit deeper though. Doug Martin is actually an interesting option in week 15. Cincinnati is NumberFire's second least efficient rush defense, and they've allowed more fantasy points to the position than any other team in the NFL. Meanwhile, Doug Martin has double-digit carries in seven straight games, and he's completely dominated goal line looks for Oakland since Marshawn Lynch went down for the season. Since week 8, only Christian McCaffrey has more goal line attempts across the entire league than Doug Martin. So that gives Martin plenty of upside this week as a flex play. Ito Smith hasn't out-snapped Tevin Coleman yet, but he played just one fewer snap than Coleman last week, and he's actually out-touched Coleman in each of the last two games. And this week, the Falcons are at home playing against a Cardinals team that's just been pretty bad. And as a result, Atlanta's an 8.5-point favorite. So a positive game script could lead to more rushing, and considering Smith has actually carried the ball more in the red zone this season than Tevin Coleman has, he's just as likely to score a touchdown as Coleman is. There really shouldn't be a big gap with their ranking this week, given their recent usage. And I do think that Smith makes for a decent waiver wire type option at running back this week. Kenneth Dixon is another player that you might be able to find off your waiver wire and just plug him right into your flex spot. I would hope that you have a better option, but maybe you're in a deeper league or maybe your team is just getting crushed by injuries. Regardless, Dixon has 8 rushes in each of Baltimore's last two games, and from week 13 to 14, he saw a snap rate increase from 21% to 32%. And this week, Ravens coach John Harbaugh noted that he expects Dixon's role to grow in the offense. Tampa Bay's allowed the 4th most points to running backs this season, and Baltimore has the 3rd highest implied team total of the week as 8-point favorites. That really favors Kenneth Dixon. Now, I'll be honest, it's really hard to find running backs that are getting volume who you should sit. I was going to talk about Aaron Jones today given his matchup against Chicago, but you're not really sitting Aaron Jones. I don't know how that information would really help you. But I do want to talk about James White a little bit. I think he's a super high variance play in week 15. And the reason I say that is because it wouldn't shock me at all if New England utilizes him in the passing game given Pittsburgh's strength at stopping the run, but Pittsburgh has also seen just 10.6 of the passing yards that they've allowed go to running backs. That's the lowest rate in the league. And then all the while, White has finished as the RB37, RB36, RB9, and RB50 over the last 4 weeks in PPR formats. He scored more than 9 PPR points just once over the last 4 games. So on paper, this looks like an awful matchup for James White. But part of me does believe that there's a good performance at the high end of his range of outcomes, given how this game could unfold. It could be a high-scoring, pass-friendly game. And we know the Patriots might struggle to run. But I'm bringing White up because I think he's just a really interesting player to watch this week. I'm leaning more towards him not having a big game, but you never know with the Patriots. Julian Edelman is someone on New England who absolutely needs to be in your lineup. The Steelers have struggled against slot receivers all year long, and Edelman has played over 67% of his snaps from that area of the field this year, according to Pro Football Focus. You're not benching Julian Edelman, I'm just bringing him up because I'm very, very high on him this week. Last week, Seth Roberts ranked 3rd in the NFL in slot yards, according to PFF, and he faced Pittsburgh. In week 13, Keenan Allen was 2nd in the league in slot yards, and he faced Pittsburgh. They've been bad of late against slot receivers, and they've been bad all season long in slot wideouts. So you have to have Edelman in your lineup. As I mentioned on my 15 transactions show earlier this week, Curtis Samuel has played 3 straight games where he's seen 83% or more of Carolina's snaps. And over his last 2 outings, he's seen 19 targets. And then this week, he's facing New Orleans, a team that's surrendered over 250 more receiving yards to wide receivers than any other team in the NFL this season. That makes Curtis Samuel a legit option on Monday night. Taylor Gabriel has 9, 8, 7, and 7 targets across his last 4 games. While Anthony Miller's snap share and volume in the Bears' offense is starting to diminish, Gabriel's has been pretty steady. He just hasn't found the end zone, and he's actually only scored in 1 game this year, a Week 4 contest against Tampa Bay. But I'm interested in him this week as a deeper play because Green Bay is a team that allows a high percentage of their receiving yards to go to wide receivers. And considering Gabriel's usage of late, he may be able to do a little bit of work when the ball's in his hands. It's definitely not the safest play in the world, but the combo of workload and matchup makes Taylor Gabriel a little bit intriguing. Amari Cooper has been incredible since joining Dallas, and you cannot bench him in fantasy football. You're not benching Amari Cooper after what he did last week. I'm merely here to say that I'm lower on Amari Cooper in week 15 than where the consensus has him. And it's because this matchup against Indianapolis is not a very good one. The Colts have actually given up the second fewest receiving yards to wide receivers this year, and of the receiving yards that they've given up in some, only 50.3% of those yards have gone to wideouts. That's by far the lowest rate in the league. What that means is that passers are getting the most out of non-wide receivers when facing Indy. So I think Zeke could go ham as a pass catcher in this game while Cooper comes back to earth a bit. I still think he's a wide receiver too, but I don't think he's a locked-in wide receiver one this week. Let's pour some out for my man Kenny Golladay. It's been tough. The offense is bad, Matthew Stafford is playing poorly, and the matchups really haven't been great. If you hashtag watched the tape a couple of weeks ago against the Rams, Babytron was really close to having a nice game. Instead, he finished with 3 catches for 50 yards. And then this past weekend happened where he inexplicably saw 4 targets and caught 2 of them for 5 yards. And it's not getting any easier in week 15. No defense in the league has given up fewer receiving yards to wide receivers than the Bills. Legitimately, I don't know how you can feel confident starting Kenny Golladay this week. As you guys know, I love him as a player, but this is bigger than Golladay the talent. The Detroit offense looks really bad, and the matchup is not there on the road. I wouldn't feel good about Golladay in my lineup this week. We know Cameron Brate can be a red zone threat, as we saw last week against the Saints. He had 2 catches, and both of them went for touchdowns. He now has 3 touchdowns over his last 3 games. He's not doing a ton in the yardage department, but that could change against Baltimore. The Ravens are good at the perimeter, but 29% of their passing yards allowed have gone to tight ends, which is the second highest rate in football. They've actually been kind of bad against the position this year. So Tampa Bay may rely on Cameron Brate in this matchup, and as a result, he'll help your fantasy teams as a lower-end tight end 1 or a higher-end tight end 2. I mentioned earlier with Amari Cooper how the Colts seem to funnel a lot of looks to tight ends and running backs, and that makes Blake Jarwin an interesting streamer in Week 14. He ran 19 more routes than any other Dallas tight end last week, according to PFF, and he had 7 targets. His previous season high was 2. They may not continue to look his way, but this really is a matchup to exploit, so if they do keep running Jarwin out there, he should be able to score some fantasy points. I want to start off the defense portion of the show by saying that I think we've got one of the rare instances where you can start defenses from the same game this week. That Washington and Jacksonville game is going to be so ugly. And it's got the lowest over-under since 2012. I prefer Jacksonville defensively between the two, but you could honestly stream Washington if you wanted to as well. But my real streamer this week is Atlanta. They're at home, they're big favorites, and they're facing an Arizona offense that's posted 20 or more points just 3 times this year. I mentioned a lot of this earlier in the week on my 15 Transactions podcast, but even since Byron Leftwich took over the offense as offensive coordinator, the Cardinals are giving up 1.2 interceptions and 2.7 sacks per game. Atlanta's not good defensively. I'm not trying to sell Atlanta as a good defense, but it shouldn't matter as much against this Cardinals offense. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to all of you guys for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And I'm also on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow with the mailbag episode.